Edward Coy with Weight Off Your Shoulders, and in my studio I have Susie Jimenez, and she is someone who does a lot of nutrition stuff, probably does some chefing and catering stuff on the side here and there. And so we're going to hear about some preparations for foods, as well as try to get some understanding of nutrition. As some of you know, I am, of course, a vegan. Susie is not, but we're going to go across and have some interesting cross-pollination dialogue about how you should be eating, what's nutritious, what isn't, and where to go from there. But first, Susie.
Hello.
How are you? And welcome to my studio.
I'm doing awesome. I think it's so funny how, you know, people always ask me, what's the name of my company? And I try to come up with so many creative things to call it. But at the end of the day, people know me as Susie Jimenez. So we just decided to leave it right there where it is, you know?
All right. So that's Susie Jimenez. Is that a .com?
No, it's not. You know, now Facebook has all these great ways to build your own website, and it creates like things for your services, pricing, discounts and stuff. And that's really the best way that I can get a hold of my clients, which are in the Roaring Fork Valley. So I just decided to go that route.
Okay. Now, what kind of clients do you have?
You know, I have everything you can imagine. I started doing a lot of catering, you know, weddings, events, things like that. But I started finding that a lot of people were looking to me to find out how they could either A, lose weight, how they can recreate their menus. A lot of people, you know, eat chicken, sweet potatoes, and broccoli, and that's all they know how to cook every single week. And it gets boring after a while. So they call me. Can you imagine that?
No.
And even if it was something you recreated 1,000 ways, there are so many other things out there to eat that – people need to take a chance, you know, spice up the things in their kitchen, you know, and try not to go for the same thing. You know how people usually go to the store and they're always like, I need this, this, and this. I mean, maybe don't get those things and go off and get three other things that you normally would not cook with. It'd be interesting to see what they would think in their kitchens at that point, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And I have to say that there are seem to be a lot of people, and maybe it's just me getting older, but I'm noticing how people have a tendency to do more and more of eating the same thing, as you're mentioning. So a lot of people get that pizza three nights a week. It's the same gosh darn pizza every single time.
I can't even imagine eating pizza that often. I eat pizza maybe once every other month, and not because I'm like, oh, pizza's bad for you. But I you know, I talk to my friends. I don't think I have the same menu in my house for 30 days at a time. And, you know, sometimes I make something and my husband's like, you know, that thing you made 30 days ago, what was it? Because it was delicious. And I can't recreate it because I'm always trying to figure out a way to love food a different way every day.
So you're totally improvisational then.
All day long. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That's odd because I think I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And you have kind of like this sense of, I don't know, I'm going to ask you, do you have a sense of feel for like the nutrition that you're putting into the meal?
Oh, absolutely.
Based on, you know, okay, so this spice will do that.
Yes.
And this spice will do this.
Yes.
And this food will interact with this spice and,
right.
and that food, this particular kind
There's
of
There's a lot of vegetables too, I hate to say it, have absolutely no flavor, but they, you know, they're so good for you that you need to have them. So you got to figure out a way to like that. You know, a lot of people, for example, they hate kale. Kale, if you think about it, if you eat it, it doesn't have any flavor. So you got to figure out how to actually incorporate flavor into this leaf that's got a lot of vitamin K. Like you need that, right? Especially men. And so you got to just figure out marinades, always the biggest thing. Marinade sauces, dressings, people want to know. But it's not even just that. It's just knowing, like you said, spices that would incorporate with just a little lime juice, like cumin, for example, that would just add so much flavor to kale. And then you probably eat that every single day, right?
I eat a lot. Yes, we eat a lot of kale.
I do
too. And actually, we eat it a lot of the time. We eat it in our salad, so it does have a bitter kind of a flavor to it. And so just like when someone's getting tonics, so you have a thing called bitters that go in there.
Yes.
And which means it's usually alkaline, and that means that you're able to, in a sense, detox your body to some degree.
Yeah.
So if you're eating them raw, you'll notice a certain type of bite.
Absolutely.
Because it's in a cruciferous family of plants. And they all have some kind of bite. Mustard, you know, mustard, kale, cabbage.
Every green has some. Arugula's, peppery. I mean, they all have their theme, but, you know, a lot of people cannot just sit down and eat a bowl of kale with nothing in it, you know? So you got to figure out how that kale is going to be delicious, how that arugula, the spinach. You know, spinach is a very neutral thing as well. So we all have to just figure out, like, how to incorporate these things in our diets. And isn't it interesting? And I find this interesting because I grew up with a lot of vegetables in my life, how people just don't want to eat vegetables. Like, people come over to my house, and I love broccoli. I made this broccoli tabbouleh, so I removed all the wheat, you know, and I shaved down the broccoli so it looked like rice, and I made a tabbouleh salad. And just because it was green, people looked at it, and they were like, what is this? And I find myself questioning things that are bland. Like, you know, sometimes you look at hummus, just plain hummus, and it's neutral.
Yes.
And then maybe chicken that's neutral. That's kind of the stuff that I'm like, what is this? I think that every plate needs to have color. And if there's no color in it, there's something wrong with that plate. You have to have color. Tomatoes, cucumbers, carrots, all of this stuff needs to be part of your diet, you know? So it's interesting because you're vegan, obviously. And I try to tell people, you know, most of their plates, the biggest portion on there is either their chicken, their steak, their pork, something.
Right.
And I'm like, can you try to do it the other way around and do vegetables being your biggest thing and small portions of protein? And it's interesting to me how people just don't like vegetables. Like, I can't get past that.
Well, and you know, you're bringing up something that's really interesting, too. And that is that because people from that are from tropical areas, they view meats and animal proteins as an occasional supplement to
Absolutely.
The plants that they are actually eating mm-hmm. all the time. And those people do not get chronic, they don't appear to get a lot of
right.
chronic illnesses, you know, like, you know, cardiovascular diseases and so forth.
Right.
And I want to ask you, there was a little trigger switch that happened with Susie Jimenez where all of a sudden she's like, you know, I'm going to go into nutrition. So you got to tell me. Come on, Susie. Out with
well,
it.
Well, you know what? This was the thing. I have always been, I grew up in a big family, so I was always part of the cooking.
How many people in your family?
Oh,
my
mom's got 13 brothers and sisters, and my dad's
wow.
got 13 brothers and sisters.
Holy
That's 26 uncles and aunts.
That's a classroom.
And I mean, the last time I had a family reunion, my grandfather turned 90, and I had over 300 people in this room. And my husband, who is American from Vermont, white man, was like, who are all these people? Oh my, these are my aunts and uncles and cousins and their kids. And he's like, they're all related to you? I'm like, yes. And he found it very interesting. But when I was growing up, there was always something in the kitchen I needed to do. Now, being brought up in a Mexican family, there's a lot of lard in everything. You know, lard in tortillas, tamales, you know, you fry
yes.
enchiladas. Oh my goodness. Such good flavors. And if you remove
guacamole too.
Yeah. And but also if you yeah. remove like the lard and the oil and all the stuff that they fry and you still make Mexican food, it is delicious. It's healthy for you.
Yes,
there is color.
At that time it is.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Get rid of the lard. I agree 100%.
Absolutely. So when I was young, you know, I just remember like talking to my friends, for example, and we go to school, high school, whatever. And they say, like, Susie, what you have for breakfast? They had like a bagel and cream cheese. And I'm like, well, I had a piece of carne asada with frijoles and tortillas and guacamole with salsa and chile. And they're like, what? You know, and they found that like to be the most bizarre thing that my family cooks everything. And that's what I ate for breakfast. And their families most of the time were already in school. Sorry, at work. So they had a piece of toast or something. I ate very well growing up, you know, but I found myself going into culinary school and then gaining a lot of weight, obviously, from trying things. And I wanted to realize that there was something beyond cooking that's not fried, this and that. Everything in moderation is what I went in there, well, in search of, right? And I found myself just wanting to always be fit, stay as a small chef. I've seen chefs out there and I'm like, I cannot imagine what they're health is like because they are chubsters, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa. No, and you know what? Guess what? I eat everything, and I mean everything. I'll try bone marrow. I will, you know, have, you know, the traditional Mexican food with lard in it, but everything in moderation. I still go do CrossFit 6 days a week. I do yoga 2 days a week. I am still very healthy. Everything in moderation. I eat so many vegetables. And the thing is, like, it doesn't need to be disgusting to eat food. Like, you shouldn't have to feel like you always have to put butter in there. Lard, like all these crazy things that people think, you know, you don't have to process it so much. Simplicity is sometimes the best way to go. So now I look at my body and it's a lot of work. You know, people are always saying, oh my God, you're so lucky you're skinny. Let me tell you what, luck has nothing to do with this. I don't
yeah.
know who told you that I'm lucky. I wake up sometimes at 4:30 a.m. to get to the gym because at night I want to have a steak or whatever. But I work out so that I can eat whatever I want. But that also allows me to think healthy, like have vegetables, all that stuff. But I feel great in my skin. I know that I'm doing everything my body wants it to happen. You know, I quit, you know, smoking cigarettes cold turkey 3 years ago because CrossFit was like, I was running behind people. And I'm like, I know I'm more active than this. So I quit smoking, you know. And
good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. But it's just a lot of little things. And guess what? One of the biggest things that I can tell people, not that I just figured this out at 38 years old, right? But we only have one body in this entire life, right? You don't get to
so
switch
far
it out.
From what we can tell, nobody's right? come back from the hereafter to tell me Jack diddly do.
Yeah, and things people don't realize, or like, I don't think that they come to realization. Like, you got to take care of it at all costs. You got to feed it properly. You got to help it move properly. Health, everything, like from head to toe, your mouth, your feet, everything, your face, your skin. And I think people need to like really just take a deep breath, look in, like at themselves in the mirror and say, what can I do to feel better? Because diet also makes you depressed. If you do not take care of yourself and you're overweight, I'm sorry, you're going to hit depression. You're going to, like you said, you're going to have high cholesterol. I mean, it's endless. I feel like, I don't know, my husband's like, God, you're always so happy. I'm like, because I do all the right things. I work out. I give myself natural endorphins. I eat the right foods. I enjoy cooking and going to the store and finding the new vegetable, the new something, you know? But I think you can agree with me. You've got a really great attitude. You're so happy as well. And your shape, I mean, you're 60 years old and you don't even look like you're 60. You are in such amazing shape.
Well, my wife says I look more like I'm six or act like I'm six.
Well, that's true for men.
It's probably true. Yeah, honey, if you're hearing us, yes. I'm about to turn 6 and a half.
Yeah.
So don't give me
so there's
stuff.
That, right?
So back off.
But don't you agree? I just feel like people really need to not feel like people are lucky in the way that they look. They work hard for that. It's all hard work.
I find that when someone tells me or tells, you know, one of my clients that's working out hard or tells someone I know is working out hard that they're lucky, what I actually hear from them coming out of their mouth is that they are lazy.
Yeah.
They're slothful and they don't give a crap. And unfortunately, if they don't give a crap, I can't give a crap for them.
Right.
And so I just got to walk away from it. Yep. If you think I'm lucky, it's unfortunate. But the reality is that you're probably lazy. Now, unless you tell me you've got an injury, you're rehabbing, or you're doing something.
But there's still no reason even at that point, you know, because if you think about it, like I have my right shoulder's hurt. I messed up my IT on my left hand side and I still managed to go to my coaches and say, I'm damaged, but I'm not going to stop working out. Guess what? We worked on my abs. You know, like, guess what? We worked on my arms. There's always something. And now I made it part of my lifestyle. You know, even though I don't have children, I get that. But I have made myself be part of my community by doing, you know, nonprofit things, by doing, galas where I give my time, like all these different things. And you know what? We don't have all the time in the world, all the time to work out and stuff, but you have to make it part of, it's got to be important to you. So even if you have an hour a day, then go do a quick half hour something, you know, but there, you got to make it part of your life. It's not something that just happens overnight, but you got to give your life and your body a chance to really adapt to something that physical.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say just as someone that works out a lot, if you go about it with a really intelligent design, you don't have to spend tons of time.
Right.
I mean, you know, CrossFit is not bodybuilding.
No.
And bodybuilding isn't always a part of the, you know, the fitness picture. It's an aesthetic vanity thing, not necessarily a physically capable thing. I'm not saying that bodybuilders aren't strong.
Right.
But it is an aesthetic as opposed to a wellness or fitness type of situation.
And there's different things for everyone, too, you know?
And like, I'm not – being a bodybuilder is better than being a fat builder.
Exactly. I like that. A fat builder. I build my own body with pizzas and tacos and burritos, you know. But like, yeah, I just think that there's different ways, you know. I mean, there's yoga. There's Pilates. There's just straight running. Your bicycle. There's a treadmill you can put in front of your TV. Like, there is just too many ways, you know. And I have friends that, you know, just had newborns. And they sit in front of their televisions. And they do their, you know, little yoga, you know, videos and stuff. And hey, as long as you're doing it, I don't care what you do. You should just do something, you know, and you should try to figure out how to, like, you know, and I'm not telling people like change your diet all completely, but just figure out how you can maybe remove a few of those calories and a few of those oils and try to like help your body get back into shape, you know, so, and more not shape, into wellness.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's something that, you know, I mean, I interviewed doctors on here at times, and there's a general agreement amongst the doctors that I have interviewed that wellness is a combination of health, which is the absence of pathology and illnesses, okay, or a general lack thereof.
Yeah.
And fitness is basically your abilities.
Right.
So in other words, you're capable of doing something.
Absolutely.
So it's possible for someone to be a complete, you know, sloth, not do anything, have no cancer, no obvious cardiovascular issues, but not be capable of doing anything.
Right.
So they can't go on a hike, a bike ride, or lift weights, or throw a shot put, or go with your husband up in the mountains and go hunting, because they're physically not capable of doing it. Even though they're healthy, they're not fit.
Right.
And so they don't really have what I would call wellness, and a lot of the doctors say, you know, no, that person's not well.
Right.
They are healthy, but they're not well.
Yeah.
And so you have to have both sides of the coin. And so your diet contributes, I believe, more to your health.
Absolutely.
But it also helps your fitness. And your fitness obviously contributes, or exercise contributes more towards your fitness than obviously
100%.
But they both, again, cross-pollinate.
Absolutely.
And then you get a total picture, and that is usually a great product if you're paying attention to both of those things.
Yeah. And you know what? And, I go to Soper's CrossFit, and Coach Ray over there, you know, he did this paleo challenge where he had whoever wanted to participate and see how your body has changed. So I decided to do this. And, you know, I took a picture before I started it. I measured my entire body, and I went on this cleanse and whatever. I stopped drinking liquor. I just did this paleo challenge. It was difficult because, you know, rice and beans and tortillas are not part of it. And that's what I grew up with, you know, my Mexican stuff, you know. But I just decided to go ahead and go for it. 45 days later, my body transformed into, I was just mesmerized on how amazing my body looked, how I felt. My skin was, everything about it, I was just like, wow, you know, but I missed my beans and my tortillas and my rice. So I kept eating that, which is fine because I'm still healthy and I still learned to take care of myself. But through that, I figured out that, you know, what you eat really, really can change your mood. I mean, if you sit there and eat a big old burrito, you know, let's face it, you're going to sit there and you're going to feel a little drooly and just tired. If you go have an awesome salad that's got like a lot of vegetables, even if you add like steak, chicken, fish, whatever, you're going to feel empowered, you know, and it's going to digest easier than something that was just filled with a lard tortilla, refried beans, you know, like all of this different stuff. So let's just face it, everything in moderation. I will go for the burrito here and there, but you got to have those salads as well. And I mean, after I saw my body transformed, I wanted to put together this wellness event that's coming up. And I really wanted to showcase to people that it was not just what I ate or like the physical activity that I did, but it was also taking care of my skin. It was also seeing my rehab physical therapist over there and my chiropractor and my medical doctor and just making sure that I was fine. Because you know what? I'm healthy, but guess what? I just had blood work done and I have like a little bit of high cholesterol and I would never have thought. So now I'm trying to take the measurements in my life to lower that, you know? So people just need to take every precaution and take care of themselves and try to prevent disease. Try to prevent anything that can happen to your body before it happens. Don't wait for someone to say, oh, hey, by the way. No, you want to prevent it. You want to make sure that you get your checkups, that you see the right people. And you know what? Like we said, maybe being a bodybuilder is not the way to go. Maybe it's CrossFit. Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's just running on your own. But there's a way that you can get out there and do something. So at this event, we'll have different, you know, practitioners that will give you acupuncture, dry needling, stretching, physical, you know, therapy, fitness, you know, food, shakes, like you name it. Everyone's going to be there to tell you, not tell you, to consult with you and tell you what they think, you know, would be in your best interest. So there's a lot of professionals there and it's free. Like there's no reason at this point, you know, and that's the thing. When people keep telling me like, I wish I could, but it costs, like there's no excuse. This event's free. There's free services, samples, free consultations. Pop in and just talk to the one person that you want to talk to, you know. But I find that everyone should really make a reservation and come see us there.
All right. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is, where is this event and when?
It's at Soper's CrossFit on Highway 133. So it's at the Soper's Shopping Center, kitty corner from City Market. It's on April 7th from 1:30 to 4:30. And you do need to RSVP because there is a lot of different people there. It's a 3-hour event, but we want to make sure that we are really prepared for the amount of people that are RSVPing for this. So you go to SusieJimenezWellness.eventbrite.com. So it's free. Sign up for the whole family. I mean, there's women there doing mini facials and doing makeup for the women. There's 10-minute free massages. There's stretching. I mean, there is so many things for men as well and kids. So, and I'm catering the event. So I'm showcasing to people like different ways of eating. So I'm doing, you know, four sauces, dressings, marinades that can kind of be well balanced in everything that you do every day. So even if you grabbed vegetables or pork, or even like tofu, whatever it might be, and marinated or dressed it in this dressing, you're going to have 20 million dishes. So there's no reason not to come. Tana Juicery is going to be giving away their awesome juices and talking about cleansing. So it might be a good way for people to like restart a cleanse at that point and then restart their life into a really good wellness. So there's something for everyone. So I think everyone should stop by.
All right, and I want to actually go back to the paleo thing.
Yes.
Because you went off the paleo thing because you're eating beans and rice, which I know are you know.
And tortillas, because they're corn,
It's corn because, again, it's a grain.
Right.
But, as someone who's actually kind of studies, paleo peoples and, what they're probably eating.
Right.
I find it a little hard to believe that a band of cave people, Cro-Mags or Neanderthals or whatever, okay, going back, 40, 50, 150,000 years ago,
right,
that they would walk past a field of wild grass and say, gee, I'm sorry, this is not on our paleo diet here. We just can't eat this. I'm sorry. We'll just eat something else. We'll just starve.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, they would have eaten it.
They would
eat grains. They would eat the beans. They would, whatever the heck was there,
absolutely,
they're going to eat it.
Well, here's the deal. I did the paleo challenge based on, the paleo book, I guess. I decided.
See, I think that's a bunch of fiction. A lot of it's who?
There's so many diets out there these days. I mean, there's the whole gluten-free, it just goes on and on and on. I decided to do this challenge just to see what it would do. And it worked. My husband did it with me, and it kicked in for him a lot faster. I think it worked for me, but it was 45 days of solid craziness, right? Now, I added rice and beans and tortillas into my diet, and it's fine. I added edamame beans and all of that stuff. I feel like Asia, if you think about Asia and rice, I'm sorry, they've had rice there forever and ever and ever. And you can't tell them, we know that
probably
this is your main.
7,000 years.
Exactly. But you can't tell them their main. When you think of Asia, you think sushi, you think rice, you think of all this stuff. I'm sorry, but that existed, And then you think of my Mexican people, maíz, corn has been something in my. That's what tortillas are made out. That's like our bread and butter. That's what we do every single day. And so for people to say that, that's not, you shouldn't eat that. That's like telling my ancestors, you've been wrong the whole time.
Maíz is derived from another plant, two of them, I think, teosinte and one other plant. I can't think of the name of it, but. Again, that's a perfect example of people walking by. Gee, I might be able to eat that. Oh, let's try this out here. Only a few little miniature.
I mean, even if they found one corn, they would chow that sucker down.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's why corn, which we call corn here or maize throughout the rest of the world, is so popular.
Yeah, and if you think about think of corn. It makes all these things, right? It makes the flours, the masa, all that. But even the husk makes the tamales. You can do that stuff with it. And then the husk silk, it's supposed to make the best. It all has something. So a lot of these things, it's just weird. Everyone's got their own thing. And I'm not going to sit here and try to argue with the person that came up with the paleo or the gluten-free or the Atkins diet.
I
am going to eat what makes me feel good. And guess what? I love, love. And everyone that knows me knows that I always walk around with my hot sauce. I love hot sauce. I love jalapenos. I'll eat them straight up. Just take a big bite of them. I will have a taco and three bites of tacos and I'll eat a whole jalapeno. My husband looks at me like I'm the biggest freak on this planet, but that's my choosing. People love ketchup on their stuff, mustard, whatever. I'm a hot sauce freak, So everyone's.
What's your favorite hot sauce?
Well, you know what? I grew up with Tapatio. So, it's got so much sodium in it. So it's so you got to everything in moderation. So I try to make my own at this point, but I collect hot sauces and I have a hot sauce for everything. Sriracha goes with certain things and Tapatio was something else, but that's the way I choose to eat. My best friend does not like spicy food at all. So I know, like, I have to take it all away from her. So whatever makes people happy, you know, like if you, but the thing is, like, again, like I said earlier, just try to incorporate something different. Go to the store and just say, you know what? I'm not going to get the carrots. I'm maybe going to get the parsnips, or I'm going to get the root vegetables instead of just potatoes, you know? So I just, you know, it's a good challenge for anyone to just go to the store and find one thing that you have not played with, something fresh, not something packaged.
All right. So, and that's something else I actually want to ask you about.
Yeah.
Is what is your take on refined foods? Now, obviously, I mean, it can be processed, it can be refined. So in other words, if it's refined, then it's being turned into like a, quote, pure product, absent of many things, potentially including nutrients and nutrition.
Yeah.
And then you have your processed stuff is just simply turned into something else, and you have no idea, but there it is in front of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what's your take on those
things? You know, it's hard. I personally, I have to cook everything that I'm going to consume. You know, here and there I'll be like, oh, you know, some ramen noodles sounds so good, or, you know, things like that. Again, everything in moderation. For the most part, you can ask anyone that I know. You come to my house, everything's made from scratch. Everything from mashed potatoes, everything from tortilla, like everything is made from scratch. So I know what's going in my body. I know that marinade was parsley, olive oil, and vinegar.
Because you put it in the
bowl. Because I did it myself. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
I don't like buying preparations in general. If I'm absolutely desperate, then fine, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's disheartening to me is I love corn, but in the past probably 10, 11 years, I've only been able to buy non-GMO corn maybe twice. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Where do you get your non-GMO corn? This is for people out there. If you like corn, you may want to consider not buying one of Monsanto's wonderful laboratory creations.
Oh, man, right? No, you know what? For the most part, I grew up, my family migrated from Mexico to California. I mean, before I was even born, my dad was 14. So they've always been picking fruits and vegetables and stuff. When I was the only one that was born and raised in the California, all of my sisters were born in Mexico. And I remember as a child, for 8 months, I was in the United States. And for 4 months, I was in Mexico. My mom, my dad, my sisters, my entire cousins, you name it, they all picked apricots, cherries, corn, I mean, strawberries, cucumbers. So I'm not used to not eating something that's not in season. Do you know? Like, so
yes.
I live through season. So if the corn is not in season, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah, you're not eating corn in January.
No. And so for me, you know, it's interesting because, like, you know, people think of a year like, you know, January through December. I think, oh, June is peach season. Oh, like, you know, that's how
right.
I always was brought up. Like, I always knew that my summers right out of, like, elementary school, junior high or high school, I always knew that June wasn't graduation month. I knew that I was about to go to the fields and help my dad pick peaches or apricots. And I hated it.
So you actually did that.
Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
So my dad bought this van. It was a 1979, like, white van. And we used to, like, it was literally Grapes of Wrath. We would travel in groups from Mexico, and we would follow each other from one immigrant camp to another. And these camps were fenced in. So they literally opened the fences as we approached, and we would all get a little house, and they all looked the same. And we would bring our gatherings that we had, and we'd make it our home for a month. And that Monday, everybody, including the kids, would go out to the fields and pick. And, I mean, that was our lives. And so when we were done with that camp, we'd all jump in the cars once again and follow each other to the next place. And we did that for 4 or 5 months, and then we'd all make our way back to Mexico. So it's interesting to see certain vegetables, you know, at the stores because they bring memories. You know, I see strawberries, and I just picture my grandma picking, like, out in the strawberry fields. I think of cucumbers. And I remember the buckets of cucumbers in my garage going, I hate you. What do I do with you? But, you know, now I can have that appreciation of knowing that I worked that hard. And, you know, it was simple enough to say that I was going to be a chef just being around that. One of us was meant to be in my family, you know. But it's just interesting. Like, I don't understand why people don't like these vegetables. And I know where they come from. I know what it takes to have them. My dad did all the pruning and olive orchards, you know, in the vineyards in Napa. Like, that's where all my mom's side of the family lives. And I see them. And I actually went to go live underneath an oak tree for 10 days while my husband went blacktail hunting. And I saw my cousin out there in the tractor and pruning the grapevines. And I was out there helping him. And it brought me back to my dad putting scarves on my face so that I wouldn't get dirty, and, like, the sound of cherry picking. I mean, it's insane to even think that I grew up this way, because I see my life now, and all the hard work that I've managed to like create for myself. And I can't picture me being that little immigrant child at 5 years old saying, hey, you know, you're going to pick this branch of cherries. And when you're done, go to that one. Like, it's insane, you know, like.
Well, kids are resilient. And
yes.
And I have to say, I'm really glad to hear that you are where you are right now, because a lot of people that do come to this country and end up doing the migrant worker thing. And I'm old enough to remember, Cesar Chavez and, the United Farm Workers in the 1960s. And Dolores Huerta and, you know, people like that. And so you're aware of what's going on. And I actually deliberately myself went out of my way to pick oranges in Florida.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to have a sense of feel for like, okay.
It's insane, right?
I just wanted to understand, have the experience.
Yeah.
How hard is this? And it's very, very hard work.
Yeah. It humbles me a lot. You know, sometimes, you know, I did Food Network, and I remember doing Food Network and going, oh my God, I cannot believe I was that little immigrant girl. And now I'm like on Food Network with millions of people watching me do these competitions. I've done shows thereafter. I've done so many shows and I've done so well for myself. And I remember my whole family in Turlock, California, where I'm from, getting together to see the finale. And I unfortunately lost to the Sandwich King, but I made it, you know, on Food Network, runner up out of 50,000 people. And I just, like, my mom just said, it was so nuts to watch you on TV and just know that, like, what were the chances? And I'm like, I know, right? And it's really great. But right, she keeps me humbled, man. That woman's like, when I'm like, oh, mom, this guy was like, I'm not going to eat that. She's like, you be quiet. Okay. First of all, do you remember the challenges we had as, like, you were a little girl? I'm like, guys, like, stay humbled. And I'm like, oh, you know. And so sometimes when I think I'm all that in a bag of chips, my mom's like, you better be quiet. We're not going to put hot sauce on those.
no hot sauce in that bag of chips.
No hot sauce on the chips. Yeah.
Well, Susie, thank you so much for coming
in. Of course.
And we're I want to thank everyone for listening to Weight Off Your Shoulders. And thank you, Susie, for coming in. And once again, go ahead and tell us how to reach you, your website, and when and where your event is.
Yes. So people can find me on Facebook under Susie Jimenez Productions. They'll find all the events, cooking classes, everything that I got going on that they can participate in. And the event is April 7th from 1:30 to 4:30 at Soper's CrossFit. You do need an RSVP. So it's SusieJimenezWellness.eventbrite.com. And they can also call me at 948-4096 if they have any other questions or concerns about the event that I can help them with.
All right, fantastic. Well, Susie, I'm very pleased to have met you and really glad to know that I'm meeting someone that actually knows what really hard work is.
Yeah.
And you learned as a kid, too.
Yeah, of course.
My gosh, that is so missing today
in
American society.
If kids can actually experience what I did, they would know that anything after that is a very empowering feeling for sure.
I have to put my fork in the dishwasher.
I love it. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in.